When it comes to higher education, there is a disturbing fact that shows that fewer African-American men are enrolling in college than white men or black women, and that those who do enroll are less likely to remain in school, especially at the community college level. There are a number of reasons why, and that's where a program called the African-American Male Initiative comes in. It was created as a response to the needs of male African-American students in the Florissant Valley and Forest Park Community College campuses. Joining me in studio is Keith Ware, the director of African-American Male Initiative at St. Louis Community College. Keith, thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having given me the opportunity.
What did you see that caused you to get started in all of this?
Well, being a graduate of a historically black college, Lincoln University in Jefferson City, Missouri, while I was there, I was on an athletic scholarship. I played golf in college, and I had the opportunity to tutor my male counterparts. And just seeing how we lagged behind the rest of the student population there just kind of put me in a position to know that I wanted to do something where I could give back at the college level. I think a lot of people assume that when, especially African-American men, when they get to college, they're already supposed to be prepared. And I saw firsthand that we were not. And I didn't think there were enough people or organizations kind of putting them in the best opportunities to become successful.
When you say not prepared, what do you mean?
Well, a lot of people assume, especially at the college level, since it's an option. You don't have to go to college. I mean, most people think that people choose to go, and if you make that decision, that you're automatically ready. And we have a lot of students that come to St. Louis Community College, and not even just St. Louis Community College, but a lot of other institutions that aren't ready mentally, emotionally, financially, spiritually, and they're thwarted into a position of expecting to know everything. And, you know, they're having a lot of internal issues with themselves where they're not really prepared to even sign up for class.
Why the focus solely on community colleges? I assume you indicated that there are other schools that have the same sorts of problems.
Yes. Well, we got a grant in October of 2008, and the Department of Education really wanted to hone in on institutions where they're working with communities. So, you know, with us being a commuter institution, we have non-traditional students from 18 to 70. So, you know, you're having students come in that might not have even thought of college as being an option. And, you know, they had a job making good money, 10, 15 years, got laid off. And now, you know, to go from making $30 an hour to minimum wage with no skills, it just kind of puts into perspective who should we be reaching out to. And the Department of Education realized that community colleges work extremely well for people that are non-traditional students that might not have thought about making that leap to SLU, Harris Stowe, WashU, but kind of need something before that prepares them.
You know, I think of the University Missouri-St. Louis, which is considerably larger than the community colleges, but they have the same kind of commuter traffic and commuter student that we're talking about at the community colleges. Any thoughts about expanding to institutions like that?
Yes. As a matter of fact, there are some organizations not as big in stature as ours, but they're becoming programs. Harris Stowe has a men's initiative at St. Louis University. I work specifically with Dr. Stephen Bradley. He works with the black men over there. UMSL and, matter of fact, St. Louis Community College have a pipeline. We've sent probably 10 to 15 students from our initiative to UMSL because we understand that they work with our students in a way that many institutions might not be able to, you know, and then they're comfortable at UMSL, you know, the way their academic support center works and there are people over there similar to the ones that we have working at St. Louis Community College. So not taking anything away from other institutions, but there are some that are kind of honing in on the type of students that we're getting today and are ready and prepared to work with them.
You know, it would seem to me, and you can certainly correct me on this, that working with the students once they're there may be a little bit late, that maybe it should be happening earlier.
No, you're absolutely right. And then our initiative specifically has started to do that. We have a community outreach portion that we bring students from area schools to come in and work with us. As a matter of fact, last semester in November, we did a Black Man Can Institute. So we brought every African-American male from Cardinal-Ritter High School. We had some from the Ferguson-Florissant area, as well as Alton, where we had a day-long symposium where we had different speakers come and work with the students, preparing them earlier. Because we understand, just seeing the students whom we work with, that getting them at the college level sometimes, I don't want to say it's too late, but it makes it extremely difficult to work with a man that's like, you know what, I've got a family I'm trying to provide for. I am also working 40 hours a week. Why is it that I have to take this developmental math class? How is this course going to allow me to graduate in 2 years? You know, and sometimes a lot of institutions might not be able to explain to the students that it's a part of it. You know, we would like for you to get out of here quickly, but it doesn't work that way. So we've kind of made strides in the community with different organizations as well as with different people, getting them to understand that we don't want to get them as soon as they graduate from high school. Can we get them earlier than that? If we at least put that bug in their ear, not saying that institutions aren't doing that, but we understand that if they see us wanting to reach back towards them, that they'll be more keen and wanting to know that, you know I can do this. I just need to have the proper access and resources.
Given the way you're set up right now, do you find these young men or do they find you or is it both?
It's a mixture of both. We're located at the Florissant Valley, Forest Park, and the Harrison Education Center. And what we do at the beginning of each semester, we set up as many tables. We go speak in different classrooms to recruit the men that are on campus. We don't care about age. We don't care about your background. We just understand that if you utilize the services that we provide, we know that you can become successful. Now, it works on both ends. We understand that sometimes we're asking a lot of them, but we know based on prior experience and students we have that are extremely successful that if you utilize what we have to offer, you'll become successful. So we know that sometimes going to get them, getting them to understand that, you know what, this is not a gimmick. We do provide book stipends for you. We will pay you an honorarium on either a monthly basis or at the end of the semester. If you're looking for internship opportunities, we can get those. If you're looking for an opportunity to meet someone in the field in which you're aspiring to become involved in, we'll have them come speak to you. So anything that a student needs or if they're requesting of us, we make sure that we can provide it for them.
And that's funded by the grants that you're seeking. Can you be more specific? You've mentioned a couple of times of working with them.
Yes.
And you've just enunciated a number of things that you do. But what do you mean by working with them? Do you do it individually? You have classroom activity where you talk to them? How do you work with them?
On a monthly basis, we provide 8 to 10 events that we know kind of cater to the needs of them emotionally, physically, financially. Prime example, we'll have a speaker come in to talk about time management. The assumption is students know that if a class starts at 9, they're supposed to be there at 9. Well, we have students that might not get off of the bus until 9 o'clock. Mm-hmm. They get to class late. It hurts their grade. They're not understanding. Well, I'm paying for the class. I don't understand how they can mark that against me if my bus runs late. So we'll have somebody come in and speak to them and kind of compare and contrast that this is no different than a job. You know, you might be catching the bus to work, but if you're supposed to clock in at 9, you can't tell them that it's the bus people's fault. You know, when it comes to the type of students that we have, it's a vast range of students. We've had students that started at the University of Missouri or St. Louis University, and they weren't ready. So they'll come work at St. Louis Community College. They'll join our initiative, and they won't think that St. Louis Community College is similar to the four-year institution where they just came from. So they'll kind of downplay the fact that they're at St. Louis Community College. So getting them to understand mentally that this is no different than there. College math at Florissant Valley or Forest Park is the same thing at St. Louis University. The math does not change. The only thing that changes might be the instructor. So getting them to understand that you chose to be at this institution, since you chose to be here, we can help you become acclimated to how you're supposed to be as a college student, because what we're finding now is we're getting people coming to college but not understanding what it means to be a college student.
You're really talking basics, aren't you?
Yes. That's exactly what it is. And it's an assumption people make. Well, you go to college, you know what you're supposed to expect. 60 to 70% of people do not know what they're in for when they get to college. They don't understand. And it catches people off guard that you'll have to purchase a book that might be $200 or $300. Well, I don't have $200 or $300. And then they will then put that on the instructor. Well, the instructor knows that I don't have it. Do they know that you don't have it? Did you talk to that instructor about maybe they can help you get the resources you need? Did you find other departments? Or are you not mentally ready to make the decision to take care of yourself? It's that intrinsic value. You know, I understand that every day I wake up, when I go to work, I'm going to serve people. But I also know that I have to keep my lights on. So if there's a day I don't want to go to work, you know, I'm blessed to have a position where I can take time off. But at the end of the day, if that's a ongoing process of me not going to work, I can't keep my lights on. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to retrain a lot of the students that we get in our initiative, because they might come from institutions before us that didn't prepare them properly. Not taking anything away from those places, but, you know, it's difficult to have a classroom of 30 or 40 students. You know that all of you have to test them to a certain level. And if they don't get there, what ends up happening to that student? Do you hold them back or do you proceed to send them forward? So we're getting a lot of those students that, you know, might not have been fully comfortable and prepared to come to college.
Well, it seems to me, and I've seen some of your literature, that it's really a two-way street. You've got to get to the faculty as well.
Yes. We work on the student affairs side, so that means we work a lot with the financial aid department, advising and counseling. But faculty buy-in is extremely important because we might be able to see the students Monday through Friday when they have a break or when they want to come in and utilize our tutoring services. But that classroom instruction, that instructor, depending on who they are and how they teach, can reach them in a way that a lot of us can't. I'm also adjunct faculty, so I teach American history Monday evening, and I only get the students for 3 hours. But in those 3 hours, I get them to understand that while you're in college, absorb everything that we have to offer. I know you're here just for a three-hour class on American History 1, which you might not like, but what else is it that the institution can provide for you? Because you're paying to come here. You know, you want to go into education. You want to be a teacher. Go find the department where they could kind of locate the resources that can, when you leave here, prepare you to become the best teacher that you can. You want to leave and go to UMKC or Harris Stowe. Did you know that they have scholarships available for you if you want to go into education? So we kind of put that on the instructors to kind of be more accountable themselves because, you know, sometimes that interaction you have with that student can change what they want to do for the rest of their lives.
Yeah. You know, it seems to me in listening to you talk, Keith Ware, that what you're talking about the concerns that students have and the things that they are confronted with involves white students,
yes.
Brown students, black students, women, that they all face the same kind of problems making that transition from wherever to college.
Yes. Now, I can only speak towards the men that we have in our program, but I'll give you specifics here. The Mike Brown incident in Ferguson, if you're familiar, the Florissant Valley campus is about a mile from Ferguson. So you understand that the students that Florissant Valley campus has live in that environment. So if they live in that environment, they're taking some of the emotion that they have, that they feel every day, and bringing it into the classroom. So it kind of lets you know of the students that we have and where that they're located. So then you also want to look at the type of instructors you have, the counselors. You know, we have good people and resources that can prepare those students to leave their home. And not only leave their home, but leave their home knowing that I'm going to an institution that has my best interest and that they can get me out of a situation that I might not feel comfortable in. And, you know, we have a vast array of students. We have students that deal with mental health issues, students that have served time in prison, students whom have worked great jobs, were laid off. So, I mean, the variance of students that we deal with makes you kind of wonder how we're able to focus on just the academic portion of what they're doing in school. But what we realized is if we can help them as people, the academics will come, because it's extremely difficult for a student to do well in a math and science class when they're trying to figure out how to get on campus, how to pay for books, and how to keep my lights on.
Want to continue the conversation, but I'd also like to open our telephone lines to members of the audience who might have questions about your program or issues they'd like to discuss with Keith Ware. Our number is 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. Send us an email to talk@stlpublicradio.org, or if you'd prefer to send us a tweet, also do that as well at STL on air. Why do these young men leave early? I mean, I'm guessing frustration. They run across these problems that you've been outlining here and just say, the heck with it.
Life. You know, there was a moment in time when I was in college when I was thinking, you know, it's not going on quick enough. You know, I'm working on my doctorate right now and thinking of that end date of December 2017 is not coming quick enough. But the things, the obstacles I don't have to deal with and my students have to deal with are the fact that, you know, I don't have any children yet. Now, my wife and I are going to have our first baby on May the 4th. So, you know, we'll worry about that then. But, you know, I've always had a foundation of people around me that can help and guide me. 70% of the men in my program do not have that. So, you know, if I'm stressed or, you know, if there's something I can't do, I have people around me that can kind of help me and you know, make sure that things are going to do well for me. When I have students that come in our program and they're there from when we open the door at 8 to when we close sometimes at 7 p.m. and we're like, well, you didn't have class today. Why are you here? And we find out, well, I don't have anywhere else to go. You know, so that's something that, you know, it's difficult to deal with, you know, and you're sitting there like, you don't have anywhere else to go. Where'd you come from? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I stay in the park, you know, so the instructor might not know that, you know, the financial advisor might not know that. So we just try to make sure that we might not be able to provide housing for you, but we can locate resources and give you access to something that can kind of at least make things a little bit better for you.
You know, you mentioned living in the park. I was really startled to learn recently that there is a large number, and I don't have the number, a large number of students in the city school system who are homeless.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I found out the same thing as well. My wife is a school social worker, and, you know, she doesn't get into the details. She's not able to. But some of the things that she's telling me at her grade school, the issues that she's dealing with, I'm dealing with the same issues, but with men. So mm-hmm. I can imagine you've got fourth and fifth graders dealing with some things that they will deal with till they graduate from high school, and then we get them at the college level and expect them to be prepared.
How many men, young and older men, are you working with?
Well, currently what our grant allows us to work with is 100 students per campus, and with that we have 20 mentors on top of that. So we have 240 students. Our mentors work with 3 to 5 mentees.
Student mentors.
Yes, student yeah. mentors. What we understand is the fact that sometimes what we're not able to do, our mentors are able to do. So linking our students up with other students who are doing well academically, socially, and getting them to understand that I was where you were a year ago. Hmm. So, you know, these are the benefits of working with us. And our mentors are paid $200 a month for working with students, and our mentees are paid $125 at the end of the semester.
I want to take some calls. We have some coming in, but very quickly, do the people you're working with, do they seem as highly motivated as other students when they initially
No, it takes a while. Well, for one, they don't believe that what we can offer is true. So a lot of times people have told them one thing and it doesn't happen. It's difficult for a student who I've never met. They come in my office and I'm like, I can't pay for my books. And I look at them and I say, do you want to be here? Are you serious? Well, I'll go get your books, but I need to know that you're going to be here tomorrow.
Important.
Yes.
Obviously, tomorrow is just as important as today.
Yes.
Let's take a couple of calls. We'll start with Charles calling from St. Louis. Charles, thanks for being with us. Go ahead.
Hello. I'd like to ask Keith Ware a question about working with the African-American men and specifically the non-African-American faculty members at both Forest Park and the Florissant Valley campus. Specifically, do you have any difficulty working with the non-African-American faculty and getting them to understand the perspective and the backgrounds and perhaps history of some of your students and how to relate to those individuals?
Well, I wouldn't say I'd have an experience where a faculty member just decided not to work with us. I would say that what would happen is they just would not bring their class or their students around to participate in the events that we have. What I think makes it difficult is the fact that sometimes you have faculty that might not understand the student. And I think that's at any institution, regardless of even if they were black or white, that if you don't understand the climate in which you're working, it might become difficult for you to know why this program is needed. Because you're always going to get people that wonder, well, why is it that you have a program specifically for black men? And to be honest, per Title IX in the Department of Education, it's not exclusive to just black men. Anybody that wants what we have to offer can participate. You know, so it's one of those things that I always like to remind people of that because they assume it's just for black men, it's just for black men. We'll serve anyone. But yes, there are times when you can kind of gauge that some faculty might not be in favor. You know, we haven't gotten that openly, but all we try to get them to understand is that everything that we do, if it doesn't just help African-American men, it could help everybody on campus because, you know, we are one campus, we are one institution, and what we do for one affects all.
And there's no color line when it comes to the kind of problems that you're dealing with
exactly.
That they face. Let's take another call. James joins us from St. Louis. James, thanks for waiting. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm basically just calling. I have a question and also my question is what kind of resources or what website a potential student go to if they're in a crisis, they need, you know, somewhere to live or they need money, or a website that we can share that can kind of help, you know, point people in the right direction outside of the school and the academic setting?
Well, it varies depending on the need of that student, also on the age demographic of that student. There are organizations in St. Louis such as Matthew Dickey Boys and Girls Club, Better Family Life, Father Support Services, the Salvation Army. It just depends on the need. because a lot of people sometimes are upset, and we find out firsthand that there aren't that many organizations that might work with men. So we know and we have built relationships with some organizations that, depending on the need of that student, can kind of come to help them. But it's on a case-by-case basis. And, you know, I'll be careful and not put out too many of those organizations' names and information because I know they'd get a lot of phone calls. But the ones I Better Family Life, Father Support Services, Matthew Dickey Boys and Girls Club, we've worked with specifically, and I know they will work with individuals even if they're not students of the community college.
Yeah, I have a note here asking if the United Way is involved at all.
Yes, they are involved as well. We haven't worked with them, but I know that is something that we're looking forward to doing in the future.
You have a website, obviously.
Yes, we're on the St. Louis Community College website. We don't have anything separate, but African American Male Initiative also has a Facebook page if you want to go on there, if you want to see some of the speakers that we will bring in town. They are open to the public. We try not to make sure it's just for the students at the college. We might be able to recruit students by coming to an event that we have. We had our diversity conference 2 weeks ago, and we had speakers from throughout the country, Dr. Joy DeGruyt, Dr. Benjamin Chavis, as well as Jane Elliott, who did the brown-eyed, blue-eyed test. It kind of opens doors and get people to understand that what we do is more than just teaching about African-American males, but it's for any student or anybody that is willing to learn something.
Do you have any need for volunteers? Do people
yes,
work with you?
Yes, we would love to have people come in. As I said previous, we're located at the Forest Park campus in F223. We're located at the Harrison Education Center in the Jeff Vanderloo area and at Florissant Valley in Administration Building Room A114. You can stop by the office. We'd love to come talk to you, get into specifics about the program, or we can come to you. If you're at an institution where you think that we could come speak to the students at your institution, we would love to. We have the staff that are willing and ready because we understand the importance of education.
We will put the contact information on our website at stlpublicradio.com. So okay. Folks can get at you that way if they choose to do so. And looking over my notes here, one of the things that's kind of caught my eye and one of the things that you have to deal with regard to the male students is child care.
Yes. That's something that they don't talk about a lot. Yeah. We have linked up with some organizations that we know are willing to work with the men in our program. And it's also something that a lot of people don't take advantage of. And what we found out is we have a lot of students in our program that deal with child support issues. So what we'll do is we'll have an attorney come speak to the students, the men in our program, during an event where they can ask those questions because they might not have the finances to get representation. So we're able to kind of have the academic portion of that by bringing a lawyer in for the students that are interested in being a lawyer. But at the same time, now you can ask those questions without worrying about being billed for hourly.
Yeah, legal issues being a big part of the problem as well.
Yes.
Yeah, it is. Well, what's your biggest challenge ahead, Keith?
The biggest challenge ahead, I would probably say, getting everyone to understand the benefit of working with African-American males, you know, and not even just African-American males, but males in general. You get that stigma that as a man, you're supposed to be able to provide and take care of yourself, but we're in a different time now, and men need as much help as women, as well as children. So it's just one of those things of getting people to understand that there are people out there that are seeking help. They're willing to do what is necessary to become successful and to be able to provide for their families.
All right. Well, Keith Ware, the director of the African-American Male Initiative, thank you so much for being with us, telling us about your organization.
All right. Thank you.
Obviously, you have a great passion for what you do.
Yes, thank you very much.
Keith Ware, thank you. Archived versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.